Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. In the previous message, I shared from what is listed as being the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. In today's message, in this message, I'll be sharing from what is listed as being the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, the Gospel according to the disciple Mark, or John Mark. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. This passage in this gospel, according to the disciple Mark, bears, of course, much similarity with the passage in the gospel of Matthew, listed as being chapter 24. But there certainly are differences in terms of what's included and what's excluded. This is a much briefer passage, for one thing. But from the top, taking it from the beginning of what is listed as being chapter 13. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus, answering, said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Not one stone would be left upon another. Now, this particular event, of course, that is ascribed by various experts as having been long ago. That's far in the past. When Jerusalem, when the Holy Land was overrun yet again. This Holy Land that was currently under the boot of Rome, of the Roman Empire, but that it would suffer great destruction decades after the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And Jerusalem Jerusalem, which had suffered so terribly, of course, from the likes of King Nebuchadnezzar, or Nebuchadrezzar, if you prefer, of Babylon, the Chaldeans. But here, Jerusalem would suffer greatly from the Romans. But that's not the time that Jesus is referring to, particularly. Even though he did refer to it, he referred to it when he referenced the suffering of the women, of the mothers, that there should be when he was taken to be crucified. He referenced that, this terrible destruction of Jerusalem that would be wrought. But this brings us to another time, a time yet to come. Another destruction. Yet another destruction of Jerusalem. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately. Now, many times we find Peter and James and John together, the innermost inner circle there. You could say the hierarchy among the apostles. Simon Peter, Cephas, and James and John, whom Jesus surnamed Boanerges, the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee. And here, finally, Andrew, who brought his brother Simon to Jesus, here he is included. And they say to Jesus, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" And Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet." He is speaking expressly, specifically, to this very small group of men, hand-picked group of Peter and Andrew and James and John. But he is speaking through them to generations to come, far in the future. He's speaking to us as he speaks to them. He's speaking of a time thousands of years ahead, but very near at hand now. "For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet." Yes, this has been going on through human history. But it shall further occur. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings the beginnings of sorrows. Now, we live in a time in which there has been great pressure to combine nations. Unlike previous times in history in which fiefdoms would vie against one another and clash against one another, tribes would, nations would, city-states would, and then alliances and coalitions of them would. So here we live in a time in which there's been great pressure to combine nations, to eliminate national sovereignty, to do away with that, and to do away with monarchies, and to replace them with communist empires, fascist empires, what have you. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Perchance superpower against superpower. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, in many places, different places. And even though you may associate earthquakes with certain places around the world, such as in Indonesia, Malaysia, and Turkey, and Iran, and Japan, the truth is that there is enormous potential for monumentally devastating earthquakes in North America, along the coast of the West Coast, the Pacific Coast of Canada and the United States of America, and on down to Argentina. Tremendous potential, as well as in Asia. But there will be, there shall be, devastating earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines, droughts, famines, and troubles. Troubles is kind of a catchphrase, an inclusive category, combines all of the other devastations that there shall be, natural disasters, so-called. These are the beginning, the very beginning, the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. And in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. There are various famous religious leaders, Christian leaders, religious leaders that have made much to do, have placed great emphasis on having access to powerful leaders, powerful rulers, political heads of state. And these leaders, one comes to mind in particular, but these leaders have been very careful, typically, not to offend these heads of state. Very careful not to upset them, not to offend them. In the belief that if they get to enjoy this access to these leaders, that then they can achieve some sort of gentle persuasion, that their goodness will rub off on them, you know, or whatever it is. And there was a famous Christian leader centuries ago who was known for the exact opposite, who was known for rudeness, dare I say crudeness, or crudity, who was known for being offensive. And it's not to say that there is virtue in being rude and aggressive and offensive and so forth. But this matter of trying to be nicer than Jesus, trying to be meeker than Jesus, sweeter than Jesus, nicer than Jesus, not hurt a fly, not offend a soul, especially important people, you know, VIPs, very important people, high and mighty leaders and so forth. Instead, be satisfied with getting to enjoy access to them so that somehow or other you might serve as a good example to them or some such thing. Not Jesus's plan. Not his plan, not his purpose, not his way of doing things. Nor the evangelism of the same bent that mentions sin in passing, but the whole emphasis is on you just coming to Jesus as you are and not speaking against grievous sin, because that may offend people, that may prevent them from hearing the life-saving message, and might prevent you being able to visit this nation and that nation and the other nation, and therefore might prevent you having access to those multitudes of people. And it just goes on and on. And it's diametrically contrary to Jesus's ways. These are man's ways, not the Lord's ways. Ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. Not that ye shall come before them, ye shall be brought before them for a testimony against them, for my sake, for the Lord's sake. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Now, published here usually means something other than what we think of in terms of published. Instead, it invariably means people speaking. It's the spoken word. Sharing with people. Testifying. Witnessing. That is not to negate the importance of now, in these times, being able to print and publish the gospel and or to use electronic media, whether it is for broadcasting purposes without video or whether it is via video or what have you. But publishing, as it's used here in this scripture, was with reference to speaking the word face to face to people. The gospel must first be published among all nations. But what's all important is that it must be shared, however it is conveyed, whether it is face to face, whether it is via radio, terrestrial, traditional radio, whether it is via satellite radio, whether it is via internet, whether it is via television, some other means, whether it is printed, whether Bibles are being provided, put into the hands of people who are thirsty to read the Word of God, to learn about Jesus. But the gospel must first be published among all nations. As in the book of Revelation, it refers to every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue will be represented in the kingdom of God, will be present in the kingdom of God. There will be people from every family, every tribe, every nation, every race, every tongue in the kingdom of God. And there will be a vast number from all of those that will not be. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. All nations, or all peoples, perhaps. But when they shall lead you up and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. That goes diametrically contrary to our nature, doesn't it? And this is going to be, this is with reference to leaders, such as the apostles and disciples, but leaders after them. And they're being brought before world leaders for Jesus Christ's sake, for a testimony against those world leaders. Not just to share with them in some sort of friendly hobnobbing fashion, right? Not having some prayer breakfast, and sharing and, you know, breaking bread and having fellowship and what have you. No. An adversarial situation. You could say hostile, because they are being brought in, led in, dragged in before these world leaders to testify against them, not to share with them, to testify against them, as John Baptist did to King Herod, and by extension to the former wife of his brother. But don't take any thought about what you're going to say. Don't premeditate it. Don't rehearse it. Don't write it down. Don't make notes. That just is incredible. Here you are being put into this extremely important, dangerous situation. And the Lord has brought this about for his sake, for you to testify against them. And you're not supposed to prepare. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. So the purpose of not preparing, not premeditating, is not so you or I can wing it and talk off the top of our head. It's so the Holy Ghost can speak through us. It's so God Almighty and his Holy Son Jesus can speak through us by the Holy Ghost in order to accomplish the ends that he desires for his glory. Whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. In this passage from the gospel according to the apostle Matthew, it says that ye shall be hated by all nations. All nations of people will hate you. Not love you. Not appreciate you. Not respect you. Not honor you. Hate you. And that includes in the United States of America. Which enjoyed a Christian foundation at one point. Ye shall be hated by all nations. That includes the United States of America. That includes all of the United Kingdom. The British Commonwealth, call it what you will. That includes all of the nations in Europe, on the continent. Includes the Scandinavian nations, the Mediterranean nations. It includes Israel. It includes all of the nations around the world, all of the people groups around the world, if you will. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. This is not some teaching from some splinter group of Christianity. Okay? Not from some offbeat sect out there somewhere. This is from Jesus Christ. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He doesn't say that those of you who come through this gauntlet, who endure, who are not offended, who do not forsake me, then you're just going to have all manner of riches and glories and honors and blessings in this lifetime and, of course, after this lifetime. He doesn't say anything remotely of the kind. Instead, the same shall be saved. That's a remarkable statement. What that means for us is that the bar to be saved is very, very, very high, very much higher than the overwhelming majority of evangelists, pastors, ministers, denominational leaders, theologians would have us believe. It's very much higher, vastly higher than the overwhelming majority of Christian popular authors would have us believe, and then pastors who broadcast, who have their programs and so forth, would have us believe. A vastly higher bar for salvation. That if you endure all of this, if you are faithful through this tribulation, through this persecution, ye shall be saved. A very, very, very different requirement for salvation than others would have us believe. And this is not from others, this is from Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, who is worthy to be believed and trusted. He now goes on to speak of these very, very last times. This has brought us up to the very last times. And again, this next passage, get the experts, oh, well, that was from long ago. That was thousands of years ago. That doesn't apply to today. Heavens. Or does it? But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Here he says, them that be in Judea. He doesn't say them that be in Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be encircled by armies. Armies serving Satan's numero uno world leader. This is not concerning a time that was before. This is concerning the last time before the return of the Lord. As in the previous message, back to the book of Daniel, the prophet, from what is listed as being the 11th chapter and what is listed as being the 12th chapter. Concerning this abomination, in what is listed as being the 31st verse of the 11th chapter, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And then from what is listed as being the 11th verse of the 12th chapter, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. If time allows, I will go back to those. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. Because the flight to the mountains shall be all but impossible to begin with. And if it is during the winter, it's not just the matter of freezing cold, it's the matter of bad footing as well. And then the matter of having to survive there in the mountains. Subjected to those elements. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. Now again, for those who insist, no, this is for a time a couple thousand years ago. No. There has been terrible suffering in the past. There have been terrible slaughters of people down through history during wars and so forth. But the destruction, the previous destruction of Jerusalem, that they like to liken it to, was not more terrible than the destruction of Jerusalem prior to that by the Babylonians, the Chaldean Empire, the predecessor of the Grecians and the predecessor of the Medes and Persians. It was not greater than that. It was terrible, horrible, monstrous. But so were those. It was not more terrible than the monstrous sufferings that people were subjected to by Hitler's Nazi Third Reich. Not more terrible than what Christians, 2 million Christians, suffered being slaughtered in Sudan, not to mention all of those who were not slain. And all of the Christians that were slaughtered in the Soviet Union and those who were slaughtered in communist China, not worse than those. But Jesus says, in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time. This shall overshadow everything that has come before. This will exceed the suffering that there has ever been. The monstrous, terrible, horrendous slaughter in Cambodia by Pol Pot, slaughtering more than half of the people, a vast number of them being children. This affliction will be greater than there has ever been throughout all human history. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. Except that the Lord had shortened those days, no one would survive. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. The elect's sake, whom he hath chosen. Interesting wording. He doesn't say who have chosen him. And then if any man shall say to you here, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. So in addition to all of this monstrous tribulation, then there shall be these satanic false Christs claiming to be Christ and seeking to seduce the elect to follow them to destruction. And using great signs and wonders to persuade. And to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. Not some things, all things. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. The sun darkened, the moon darkened, the stars fallen, the heavens shaken. And then the Lord appears. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors, that it is near, it is close at hand. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. So when these things begin to happen, they will be accomplished, finished in one generation. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall cease to be, but my words shall not. So all of the other books, all of the other teachings, all of the other religious systems will pass away, will cease and desist. All of the great world empires, would-be empires, will be dust. What will remain will be the kingdom of God. Now, there is kind of a time warp here as far as between times, the time of Satan taking over the world, the time of the Lord Jesus delivering the world from Satan, the time of Satan being allowed to return and to attempt to get all the peoples on the world to go to war against Jesus. But finally, at the end, heaven and earth shall pass away. But the words of the Lord shall remain, even as the kingdom of God shall remain. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, not even the Son of God, not even the Christ, not even the Lord who is returning, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who is returning, he doesn't even know the day, according to this. But the Father, God the Father, our Father who art in heaven, he knows the day. So kindly disregard the teaching put forth by various Christian leaders who would have you believe that they know the day, the hour of the day, and what have you, of the Lord's return. They would have you support them. They would have you sell your possessions, your belongings, and send them the proceeds. Kindly have sense enough to disregard such charlatans as that, such false prophets as that. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye, therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. As far as sleeping, of course, this need not refer to actually being asleep. but rather being occupied with all manner of other things, all manner of amusements and excitements and entertainments and busyness, and all manner of things that causes us to lose sight of what really matters. The times that the Lord is talking about are extremely difficult, trying times. These are the times that try men's souls. There have been difficult, terribly difficult times of great suffering down through the sweep of human history. There have been times of great persecution against Christians down through the ages. But this time will exceed all previous times. And even as the Lord Jesus Christ shall have his servants brought before kings and rulers, leaders, for a testimony against them, and as he says that all men, his people, shall be hated by all men, all nations, understand this persecution, this hatred, will be worldwide. And in fact, there will be a worldwide empire, if you will. Serving Satan, sole focus being to enslave the world and to annihilate the godly, to expunge them, to eliminate all vestige of faith in God, in Christ, from this earth. That's what's coming. In times past, again, various Christian leaders have come up with all manner of concoctions. I'm thinking of one whom I believe, I feel reasonably certain, is still alive and still kicking and still prospering. But he, among other things, ran for president, and he taught that we needed to prepare the world for the return of the Lord. And the preparation of the world was to make it better, to make it nicer, to make it a place that Jesus would like. When in fact, what happens prior to the Lord's return, and what ushers in the return of the Lord, is the world becoming worse and worse and worse and worse, darker and darker and darker and darker. Now, that's not pleasing and pleasant and enjoyable by any stretch of the imagination. But should we choose the truth, or should we choose a pleasant lie? Should we choose to believe the Lord God Almighty and his holy word, or should we believe various leaders who are blind leaders and blindly lead us to destruction? Or at least to folly, which would seemingly be to destruction, because after all, Jesus is instructing us not to be sleeping when he returns, and that is certainly a form of sleeping. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Mighty God, Lord and King, Master Savior, guide us, direct us, lead us into all truth. Enable us to endure and to be found faithful and to inherit thy holy kingdom with thy holy Son, Jesus. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.